Supercharge your Saturday with the latest Soccer Saturday price boost from Skybet. Arsenal, Man City and Tottenham all to win. Was 2-1, now 7-2. Get boosted odds on 3 o'clock's biggest games for new and existing customers. And with Skybet, you can cash out before the final whistle. Less 2-1, more 7-2. Skybet, that's betting better. Maximum bet applies. 18+. Gamblerware.co.uk. Odds may be subject to change. Minimum odds and eligibility restrictions apply. When the fun stops, stop.
Great show. I'm glad you could join us.
Lost Talk Radio.
Well, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about grabbing the P word. We'll be talking about how guys talk with other guys. We'll be talking about the debate. Also, we'll be talking about my mother-in-law because she had a major health episode. Anyway, I'm back. Dimitri, the lovable libertarian, on blogtalkradio.com, also on Facebook Live, and now on Periscope on Twitter. So welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been off the air for a few days because of a major incident with my mother-in-law, 93 years old, Helen, tough as a bird, absolutely tough as a bird. We thought that she was pretty much a goner, but turns out she's a lot tougher than anybody realized. So it's quite a story there. Also tonight, a great interview on blogtalkradio.com, that part of our multicast here, Chris Horner. Chris Horner is a guy who wrote this book about what's really interesting is, you know, how lawyers rig everything, how they just use the laws to try to screw you over and all that. Well, he wrote this book. It's not really about global warming. That's going to be in the title. In fact, the title is The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming. But we're not going to be talking about global warming. What's really interesting, I don't care if you agree that man is responsible for global warming or you disagree. This is not about global warming. This is about, and this is important, this is about how lawyers in different states, attorneys general, how they've gotten together and they've rigged the system to deny you your First Amendment right of freedom of speech. This is not about global warming, even though the title of his book says, oh, it's about global warming. Really, it's about lawyers and what these weasels have done to try to limit your freedom of speech. So set aside whatever you feel about global warming, agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. The key thing here is the First Amendment, your freedom of speech, because what these weasel lawyers have done is unconscionable. It really is just unconscionable. All right, I'm here in the LifePedigree.com studio at the intersection of freedom and fun, trademark, service mark, copyright, patent pending. Don't steal it. And I'm going to talk with you about LifePedigree.com. Just lost my train of thought here for a second. Where do I begin? Donald Trump and the P word or my mother-in-law? Let's get the mother-in-law out of the way because I really want to talk to you about the P word and Donald Trump, well, he's going to grab her by her, you know, her private parts and all that. First, the mother-in-law. I've been off the air now for a few days. I think it was Tuesday. My wife and I had some big deal legal thing we had to go through. Okay, fine. You know, we did well with that. And then out of the blue, we get word that my mother-in-law, Helen, is in the emergency room at OVMC, big deal hospital in Wheeling. Because here in the greater Pittsburgh tri-state area, OVMC is the place to go, I guess, in Wheeling. Anyway, to take her to the ER, and she's really in a bad way, in a bad way. So I come into the ER with, I see, you know, my wife and my sister-in-law, Kat Zilla, and Helen is not looking good at all. She's laying there, and it's just the ER, and it's just, God. And a doctor comes in and says, well, we saw this, I don't know, x-ray or CAT scan or whatever the hell they do, and she's got this mass that is so close to like vital parts that they can't even do a biopsy. And I'm going, oh my God, I think we all know what that means. And I know it was just awful beyond words. And Helen's not knocked out. She can actually hear this stuff. And then a little bit later, we have another doctor. And both doctors are very nice. I really liked the doctors. They were nice people, kind, good, decent guys. Second doctor comes in and says pretty much the same thing. And oh, by the way, Helen, do you want to be resuscitated if you know you die on the table? I mean, it's just horrible stuff. And Helen's going, well, I'm not sure, this, that, and the other. I'm going, I can't believe I'm hearing this. It's like, oh, my God in heaven. And, you know, my poor wife and her, my sister-in-law, Kat Zeller, are all, you know, understandably, like, you know, the doctors, the two doctors, all but said that Helen has a form of cancer that is very aggressive. And they can't even do a biopsy. I mean, essentially, they were saying, this is the end of the line. I mean, this is horrible stuff, but it wasn't official. And I said to my wife and Katzilla, look, we don't know the facts yet. We have a couple of opinions. We don't know the facts yet. There's going to be a third doctor, a gastrointestinal guy, who's going to be looking at the same pictures, the same charts, the same whatever doctors look at, and then we will know. All right, fine. Well, that night was just horrible. Next morning, we find out that this gastro guy looks at the same charts, looks at the same woman, and goes, well, these are just stones. Stones. Gallbladder stones or wherever stones come from. I don't know. And it turns out that this wasn't some, you know, near-death thing with cancer and, you know, aggressive. And it was stones, not just a couple of stones. I can't believe I'm saying this. 93 stones. They fished out 93 stones from this 93-year-old woman. And I swear to God, I believe that's got to be some sort of record for stones, at least here in the Upper Ohio Valley, and quite possibly for the world. I've got to call into the Guinness Book of World Records to see if fishing out 93 stones is some sort of a record. I suspect it is. But, I mean, 93 stones, she's 93 years old, and they're fishing this stuff out of her, and I'm going, oh, my God. And so it was a really just a bizarre period of time. And now we're fighting with, you know, Helen is with Medicare about how can they take her out of the hospital and move her into some assisted living thing or whatever. It's just a mess. But the good news is that she's actually doing pretty well. I saw her today. She's sitting up. She was sitting up. She's probably sleeping now. She was eating, bitching about all the hospital food. Oh, this is awful. She's pulling out bits and pieces of salad, of lettuce. You know, the white part of the lettuce where it's not like green and leafy, but white, sort of like I don't even know what that is. She's bitching about that. She's bitching about the food tasting awful, this, that, and the other. In other words, she's back to being Helen. I take that as a very good sign. So that's what happened. And so it kind of got me off kilter here because there's so many other things going on in my head. And it was not a pleasant time, but it had a happy ending, amazingly. I still haven't heard back from the Guinness Book of World Records about this, but as soon as I do, believe me, you will be the first to know, you and everybody else in my life. So, all right, so we have that. We can set that aside. That's a good thing. All right, we're fine with that. Thank you, OVMC, good hospital. Oh, my God, I don't know what it is. There's something about the smell of hospitals that I just hate. I've always hated it. There's something about a hospital smell, it's just good. And hospitals are full of really good people. Nurses, especially the hot ones, are just like awesome. A hot nurse is like right at the top of the food chain, as far as I'm concerned. You know, great doctors, great everyone. They all there to help you. I mean, I get that. That's wonderful. The smell of a hospital is just the most foul, disgusting thing you could ever imagine. It's just awful. Anyway, so, but Helen's doing better because she's bitching about everything, especially the food. So that's a good sign because, well, that's my mom-in-law. That's Helen. So, okay. Thank you all who responded to my Facebook Live thing. I did a half-assed Facebook Live thing saying, okay, here's OVMC. Here's where we are. Here's the situation. That was it. We must have had more than 800 views on this thing. I mean, it was unbelievable. And all the comments and prayers and best wishes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of that. Really appreciate it. Didn't mean to be alarmist, but again, two doctors are all but saying, look, you know, it's an aggressive form of cancer. We can't even do a biopsy. That's it. The third doctor, a gastrointestinal guy, who, by the way, I think deserves the Nobel Prize for something because he saw, oh, it's just stones. And he's fishing out the stones. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't write this kind of stuff. Well, you could write it. Nobody would believe you. That's what happened. It's just the damnedest thing. So Helen's going to probably be back soon. and we'll have her by the fire pit outside in the backyard, and have her here for Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas and all this kind of stuff. And she can spend quality time with my wife and Catzilla, and, you know, and she'll probably bitch about the food or whatever. And that's just Helen. That's just the way she is. 93 years old. Tough. God, is she tough? It's unbelievable. There are different parts of her that have been removed over the years. She's had all sorts of health issues. And she goes into a hospital, and they take out some organ. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. I mean, there's like a whole series of organs that actually taken out of her. And she's explaining this to the doctor, the second doctor, the one who said, well, do you want us to resuscitate you? And I said to the doctor, kind of half jokingly, yeah, they take all this stuff out of her, all these different body parts and all that, internal organs, I guess is what they are. And I said that Helen keeps them actually in a little box underneath her bed. And she brings them out every Thanksgiving, and it's just like a family tradition. He couldn't stop laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was actually pretty good. Anyway, by the way, she doesn't do that. Not anymore. All right, so that's the Helen thing. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get to the P word here, and that is, well, Donald Trump. Now, first, you need to know this. I'm a libertarian. I'm a life member of the Libertarian Party. I vote only for libertarian candidates, even Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, because I'm not voting for Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. I'm voting libertarian because I happen to be libertarian, life member, Libertarian Party. Gary Johnson is not the best presidential candidate the Libertarian Party could have, although in this election cycle, he drives me nuts because Gary acts like such a God-blessed goof. Time and time and time again, you want to be taken seriously, and yet you got this guy who's got a great resume, who actually is a really accomplished guy, acting like a goof. And I mean, like, what's in Aleppo, and the thing with the tongue, with, you know, that MSNBC reporter, and so many other things. And Bill Weld, I don't even know what the hell Bill Weld is thinking. Well, Hillary might be the most qualified candidate, and this, that, and the other. Bill Weld was supposed to raise a lot of money for the Libertarian Party. That's why we said, all right, you know, Gary Johnson wants him to be the Libertarian Party VP. He's going to raise a lot of money. Okay, fine, whatever. And I don't know how that's worked out either. Anyway, as a matter of fact, so libertarian that today I put in a request to interview Daryl Perry. Daryl Perry is this big deal libertarian guy who was one of the candidates who was running for the nomination of the Libertarian Party. And he is so upset regarding Gary Johnson that Daryl is thinking of starting up his write-in campaign for libertarians, for him. Saying Gary Johnson is like, oh my God. I mean, Gary is, don't get me started with Gary Johnson. I want to like the guy, I really do. And I know that he's small government guy, but it's like, I don't want libertarians to be a laughingstock, okay? It's one thing for the public to think of me as a laughingstock, to make jokes about me. Oh, yeah, the lovable libertarian, what an idiot he is, you know. That's fine, because this is what I do. I'm in talk radio. This is blogtalkradio.com. This is Facebook Live. This is Periscope. This is just what I do with this multimedia platform of mine. Okay, that's fine. But if you're going to be the Libertarian Party candidate, you're representing all of us, and goddamn it, geez, pardon my French, doggone it. Don't act like a goof. Don't stick your tongue out. Don't get dress nicer. Just look like you should be taken seriously. Act like you should be taken seriously. Gary Johnson, jeez, I'm pulling my hair out. Well, actually, I'm not pulling my hair out because I don't have any hair left. But if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, at least from the top of my head, not my nasal hairs. God, that hurts. Did you ever try that? Did you pull out those, you know, because you get gray, okay? I've got gray hair. And sometimes they're like nasal hairs that get a little long. And I go, well, I can just take care of this. Don't do that. Very painful. Get a little scissors and have it done that way. Or go to your barber shop or the, you know, whatever, and they can just maybe do their magic. But, oh, don't pull them out. Oh, my God. It just, you think I'd learn, but I don't. All right. Let's get to the P words. Oh, before the P word, let me tell you about lifepedigree.com. This is the lifepedigree.com studio at the intersection of freedom and fun. Lifepedigree.com is this great company run by Pittsburghers, and they've got this great idea. If you have a business and you have people who are sending you resumes, well, if you're going to take time to read all these resumes and try to decipher them, then you're not really running your business. And it's not easy figuring out who's telling you the truth on these resumes. And then how do you access all these different data banks? Who do you know who to call about, well, did he really go to this college, or did she really not go to prison here? And what about their credit score there and this, that, and the other? Next thing you know, it's like, you know, crazy time. That's for one resume. What if you get 2? What if you get 50? What if you get 100? What do you do then? Here's what you do. LifePedigree.com. This is a great concept. I love this company. Send all the resumes from your business to LifePedigree.com. LifePedigree.com reviews all the resumes, looks everything over, makes all the phone calls, does all the data stuff, finds all the information, and then puts a seal of approval of the resumes that are actually truthful, that they check out. And so now they send them back to you. It's all for a really, really low price. That's the important thing. A very, very low price to get confirmation that these resumes are actually truthful. So you get the resumes back. You see which ones are telling the truth, which ones can be verified. And then you interview people from that pile. And that way you increase your chances of getting a good, honest, decent employee. LifePedigree.com. Here's how to get in touch with them. Send them an email. Yes, people still send email. It's sales@lifepedigree.com. sales@lifepedigree.com. In the subject line, put in my name, Dimitri. That's with 3 I's. Dimitri. That way they'll know you're part of the Dimitri ecosystem. You're not some goof. You're not some spam thing or whatever. You're for real. So sales@lifepedigree.com. And that way they'll take care of you. They really will. Very low price. Get all this taken care of. You run your business. You don't have to worry about who's telling the truth and who isn't with their resumes. People lie. God, so many people lie. I'm dealing with a liar right now on a personal matter that you would not believe what a lying piece of crap this guy is. Oh, he is just the worst. But we're going to get him. Anyway, sales@lifepedigree.com. Do it. Great company. Put in my name there, and they will I would buy a franchise if they sold franchises. That's how much I believe in this company, sales@lifepedigree.com. All right, let's get to the P word. The P word, I'm not going to say it because I get a little I typically don't have a potty mouth. I really don't. And it's not because I'm holier than thou or because I'm, you know, a religious person. Nothing like that. I just don't like talking like that because, frankly, I think it's not a really good way to communicate. I think that's like an easy way out. Well, you know, F this and F that and H this and, you know, S word that and D word this and P word that and C word that. You actually have words now for almost every letter of the alphabet. Dirty words like the A word or the B word or the C word. Actually, there are several C words. The D word, the E word, the F word, the G word. It's like every word is like dirty or something now. Anyway, so this whole thing with Donald Trump. So he's on a bus with Billy Bush. I can't stand that guy. Apparently, this Bush is part of the Bush family. Did you know that? Yeah, Billy Bush is part of the Bush family. So he's on a bus, and they're checking out, you know, women that are looking outside the bus, I guess, and they're talking about women. Okay. Donald Trump is mic'd. I guess he's mic'd. He knows that, you know, he's being interviewed. There's a hot mic or whatever. And Donald Trump is talking like damn near every other guy, including yours truly, who from time to time talking with other guys in the privacy of, you know, not someplace public, just talking guy stuff about women. This is not unusual. I'm listening to this tape, this interview, not even interview, but this, you know, this incredible audio that they've gotten, you know, off the bus, and Donald Trump is saying this. Oh, I grab her by her P word and I do this and this, kiss that and the other. Guys talk like that, like all the time. They just do, about women, about sex, not in public, because we look sort of kind of like D words. Okay. I mean, we do, but this is how a lot of us talk, and it's not anything other than stupid guy talk. That's all it is. Just guys talking and bragging. Oh, yeah, I nailed 25 women last night, you know, because I'm such a stud, you know. It's just like, oh, come on. I mean, as God is my witness, I listened to that audio because I got wind of it on Twitter, of course, and they were going, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. This could be the end of his campaign. All the Republicans are turning against him. And I'm going, what the hell did he say now? Well, something from 11 years ago, but I wouldn't care if it was like from 11 minutes ago. If you're a guy and you're talking to other guys about women and sex, And it's not in a public setting. It's just like guys, like here in the studio. If I had another guy and we were talking about women and sex and we weren't, you know, broadcasting this on, or streaming this, I should say, on blogtalkradio.com, 9 p.m. weeknights Eastern time, and also Facebook Live and also on Periscope. If it was just two guys talking about women and sex and about, well, we'd be talking about body parts. We'd be talking about, oh, yeah, I did this, I did that, or I'll do this, or I'll do that, or, oh, yeah, they just will fall all over me. It's a stupid guy talk. That's all it is. Jesus H. Christ. And you would have thought that this guy, Donald Trump, had, you know, had raped 50, you know, goats or something like that. That was unbelievable. And Hillary Clinton, of all the people on this effing earth, of all the people on this earth, Hillary Clinton saying, oh, it was horrific. Listening to this, it was horrific. My wife, she almost was needed some air. She was panting and she was going to faint dead away. Oh. Really? Maybe clutching her pearls as she, no, I mean, just help me understand something. Let's assume that Donald Trump has said the worst possible things you could ever imagine about women. My guess is, now Donald Trump, I think, made a mistake at the debate last night because he said, oh, there aren't any other tapes like this, or I didn't, don't talk. I'm sure there are, and I'm sure they're going to release them. What he should have said was this. If I'm consulting Donald Trump, which I'd be happy to do, I would have said to him, look, they're going to ask you this question. Are there other, have you talked like this other times? You know, 11 years ago, you're, you know, doing, you know, potty mouth stuff about grabbing her by her private parts and this, that, and the other. Are there other times? I already know the answer to that. The answer is, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's a guy. I'm a guy. Believe me, this is how we talk. Here's what you're supposed to say. You say, look, I am sure that there are a lot of other tapes out there with me being, you know, talking, you know, vulgar guy stuff or whatever it happens to be. And you're going to hear them and all that kind of stuff. And you know what, folks? It doesn't matter because all I was doing was talking. I was talking. And guys talk about sex and women. And this is what we do. And if you don't believe me, well, I'm sorry for you. But that's just what we do. But, and this is the part that's the most important, no matter what Donald Trump has said, and figuratively said the most god-awful, horrible things, those are only words. He didn't do anything. It's not like there's a, you know, a bunch of women lining up going, you raped me, you sexually assaulted me, you forced yourself on me, you did this, that, or the other. There's none of that stuff. It's just him talking, guys talking about sex, because that's what guys do. And my guess is that women, you know, in the privacy, you know, they're wherever women talk, when they talk about sex, my guess is they can get pretty raunchy sometimes. Not as raunchy as guys, because guys can be really raunchy, but get in, so what? It's just talk. It's just words. You got your vowels. You got your consonants. You got your, you know, run-on sentences. It's just, that's all it is. That's all it is. You don't believe me? Fine. Name me the victim of Donald Trump's words. What's her name? He's on a bus with Billy Bush, who I can't stand, and he's going, oh, I grab her by her, you know, P-word, and then I do this. Oh, that'll do anything. Fine. Okay. What's her name? The victim. What's her name? Well, there is no victim. They're just guys talking. That's all it is. That's all it is. How hard is this to comprehend? Anyway, compare that to what Bill Clinton has clearly done with a number of women. Sexually assaulted them, raped one of them. One, he had to settle with Paula Jones, $850,000, because he exposed himself to her. He lied about it. He lost his law license, for God's sake. $850,000 he gave to Paula Jones. I mean, how do you possibly compare what Donald Trump says, no matter how raunchy, no matter how disgusting, and I'm sure there will be more audio tapes out there because that's how guys talk. I'm sure there will be. Just get it in your head right now. Compare that to what Bill Clinton has done and what Hillary Clinton has done to go after these poor women who were victims of sexual assault on the part of this running swine, Bill Clinton. I mean, God, I mean, what? In what universe do we all live here anymore? I don't know. Now, here's what's going to happen. The media, of course, the elites of the media hate Donald Trump. They despise him. The never-Trump Republicans, the insiders, the GOP, the rhinos, hate Donald Trump. Don't, you know, they despise him. They all, you know, hate him and all that. And they're all going on and on about, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. How dare he have said this 11 years ago? You know, this is just the most awful thing in the world. Okay. What the Democrats of today and the never Trump people of today and the immediate elite of today are going to discover is the same thing that everybody else discovered back in the 90s when the complaints were about Bill Clinton's sexual escapades while he was president. Back in the 90s, before we realized that Bill Clinton was actually a serial rapist or a sexual assaulter, when it was mostly just he's screwing around in his marriage, he's screwing around with Monica Lewinsky and, you know, screwing around with Jennifer Flowers and all this other stuff. And he's just screwing around, you know, consenting adults. When word got out about Bill Clinton with all these other women and consenting adults, Republicans were losing their minds. And the media was also going on and on. This is amazing. This is, you know, and they all thought that Bill Clinton was done for as president, just done for as president. Because he's screwing around, all, you know, can't keep it zipped up and all this kind of stuff. But again, back then, all we thought was that it was consenting adults. He's screwing around outside of his marriage. And that just, you know, whatever. Well, the Democrats back then, the apologists for Bill Clinton said, hey, it's just about sex. It's just about sex. That's all this is. It's just about sex. And at that point, when we were thinking that it was involving simply consenting adults, not rapists, then what we discovered is that the vast majority of Americans don't care about Bill Clinton's private sex life, as long as it's with consenting adults, including Monica Lewinsky, who was a 22-year-old woman. Yes, she was an intern. Yes, all those predator problems with an employer, but she was an adult. We discovered back in the 90s that Americans don't really care about your private sex life as long as you're dealing with consenting adults. If Bill Clinton wants to screw around in his marriage, screw around with Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, and God knows who else he had affairs with, you know, Mondale's daughter, Walter Mondale's daughter, who was very hot, by the way, before she died. It's like, okay, fine. So he's a running swine, but that's his private life, and so who cares? I mean, that was the attitude back then. And it is my belief, and I'll bet you your last dollar on this, that it's going to be the same now. People are going to say the same thing. Look, that's Donald Trump. He's talking about sex. It's his private life. He's doing this on a bus or whatever. Who cares? Who cares? It's going to be the same lesson because Americans, whether Bill Clinton's in the White House or maybe Donald Trump is going to be in the White House or whoever, whatever, same story. We don't care. As long as you're dealing with consenting adults, as long as you're not dealing with victims, we don't care. We just don't care. And so it is my belief that's what's going to happen. And people are going to be amazed. They're like, my goodness gracious, Donald Trump said these things, and the Americans don't seem to care what's going on with the world. Nothing's going on with the world. Same thing with Bill Clinton back in the 90s. Private sex lives, as long as it's consenting adults, what do I care? I don't care who you're sleeping with. As long as, you know, it's a consenting adult situation, I don't care. What difference would it possibly make? What difference? What difference? All right, so there's that. The debate last night. Donald Trump, again, I'm a libertarian. I wish Gary Johnson was in the debates, although, but Gary Johnson acting like such a goof, he might have just embarrassed us even more. I don't know. Oh, I can't get Gary Johnson out of my head. I mean, just, God, this guy, what an opportunity we had this year. What an opportunity we had. He blew it, acting like such a goof. Anyway, focus, man. Focus, focus, focus. Okay. Where was I? Oh, right, the debate. Donald Trump handled this situation with the audio tape as well as could be expected at the beginning of the debate. And then he did that pivoting thing that all these debate experts talk about, and he really went after Hillary Clinton. I think Donald Trump won that debate, I have to tell. Now, the first one, I thought Hillary won, because she had better debating skills than Donald Trump. But last night, I have to tell you, even though the moderators, again, are liberals who are going after him, and again, it was very unfair, did a whole Lester Holt thing on him, Even though Donald Trump came in with the excess baggage of that audio tape, he had to apologize for, oh, it was awful and terrible. You got to say that crap. Donald Trump won that debate. There's no question. And by the way, I must say this, though, and I've actually confessed this. Back in the day, back in her day, in her prime, I still can't believe I say this, but it's the truth, and you need to know this. I always found Hillary Clinton, when she was all dolled up and just, you know, looking good, she looked great. I mean, she really looked great. I don't care about her personal life. I don't care what she does with Bill Clinton or Uma Abedin or who or what she's attracted to. I just don't care. I am telling you that in her day, Hillary Clinton was a damn good looking woman. Damn good looking. And last night at the debate, again, I have to confess, even though I find her repulsive because she's a soulless witch who really should be locked up, she looked great. Her hair was even better than normal. And I mean, she looked really good to me. I mean, she just has always looked really, except when she was in college with those glasses, that mousy thing. Oh my God. But after that, she's looked really good. She looked great last night. Hillary Clinton looked terrific last night. Donald Trump, though, won, I think, overwhelmingly. There is no question because he really took it to her. She was caught in lies again. And when you're Hillary Clinton, of all the people on this earth, when you're Hillary Clinton and you're trying to justify a lie that WikiLeaks has exposed about, well, you got to have a private position, and you try to justify this, to rationalize this by saying, well, it was, you know, Abraham Lincoln, essentially blaming this on Abraham Lincoln, Honest Abe. If you're Hillary Clinton, you don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. I mean, you just don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. And Donald Trump jumped all over her. But the thing that was most impressive last night in the debate, and Trump won overwhelmingly as far as I'm concerned, although Hillary did win the first debate, so who knows what's going to happen in the third one. I'm still waiting for one of two things. Like in the third debate, for Donald Trump either start foaming at the mouth, which I don't think he's going to do, or Hillary Clinton just keeling over because her body's locked up because she's got this strange, weird thing going on. So I don't know. But the third debate's going to be fantastic. Anyway, Trump won the second one. The best part of it, though, was not all the great one-liners that Donald Trump had about he's going to lock her up and or get a special prosecutor, you know, all that kind of stuff. The best part was the last question, by far. By far, it was the last question. And there was this guy who said, okay, can you say something nice about your opponent? And Hillary Clinton thought for a little bit and said that Donald Trump has great kids, and, you know, she gave him credit for being a good dad. I mean, his kids really are amazing. I mean, they really are. I don't think the wife gets anywhere near enough credit. Ivana, I think was her name. My guess is that she deserves most of the credit, but still, I mean, there's no question. Donald Trump's kids, whether those three, Ivanka, or Donald Jr. or Eric, they're very impressive. From the little that I've seen of Tiffany, very impressive. It's a shame he named her after a stripper, but still, Tiffany, very impressive. Very smart girl, too. Good looking. They're all good looking. And his son, a 10-year-old Baron, I think is his name, from what I have read, another very impressive kid. Okay. But the most impressive thing of the debate was Donald Trump. The last thing, I mean, it was really amazing. To me, it was amazing. Because Donald Trump now had to say something nice about Hillary Clinton. And I figured he's going to probably say that Hillary Clinton is a good mom because Chelsea is a good daughter and all this kind of stuff. Nice, safe thing. Donald Trump did not do that. And I thought this was really telling. Donald Trump said, in essence, I'm paraphrasing here, that he disagrees with Hillary on darn near everything and blah, 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 blah. But she's a fighter. She doesn't give up. She keeps fighting and fighting and fighting, and I forget exactly how he said it, but he praised her combative skills, her never-give-up attitude. And it was sincere, because I know Donald Trump, I mean, it's obvious that Donald, whatever you think of Donald Trump, that's something that he would value. And he gave her a lot of credit for that. He could have taken the easy way out and said, well, yeah, I think she's a good, you know, she's a good mom. And she'll, no. What he did is he pointed out something that even Hillary's harshest critics would have to admit. She fights. She doesn't quit. Oh, my God, there's no quit to this woman. I mean, give her credit for persistence, for perseverance, for dogged determination. She does not quit. She doesn't. And Donald Trump recognized that, acknowledged it, and said it was very impressive. That one thing right there, which happened to be also at the end of the debate, I thought was by far the most powerful thing of it all. Because here you've got Donald Trump, who, you know, is taking shots at her all the time, and she's taking shots back at him back and forth. And then in the end, he says this, and you know it's true, because Hillary is a fighter. She does not give up. And you know that Donald Trump respects that trait. And here he's acknowledging that his most hated opponent has that trait. Very strong stuff. Very, very strong stuff. I've been reading one of those awkward little moments, which is kind of funny, but really when you think about it, it's like, so what? There was a fly in the studio in the debate last night. The fly landed on Hillary Clinton, and the picture's kind of funny, but I mean, to me, that's like low-hanging fruit. I'm not even going to make jokes about it or whatever, because it's like, frankly, it's too easy. And there was a fly that dealt, you know, President Obama had a deal with a fly for a while there in some setting of his, and he swatted it and got it or whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, it's just, when something is just too easy, when it's just too simple and everybody else is going to do it, I don't do it. Because it's just low-hanging fruit. I'm not even going to bother with that. But the debate was really fascinating. And something else is fascinating. By the way, I wanted to let you know, again, a reminder that on the Blog Talk Radio part of our simulstream, our multi-stream here, we're on Facebook Live, we're on Periscope, and also, of course, blogtalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, weeknights, all three. I mean, we're all over the place. My interview, it's a recorded interview with a guy whose name I've now forgotten, Chris Horner, and he has written this book about the politically incorrect climate, you know, the politically incorrect guide to global warming. But it's not about global warming. This is a really, really important thing. Because, you know, I've been talking with you about how lawyers rig everything and that they're just, most of them, not all, I've got some of the best ones, but many lawyers are just these weasels that just rig everything. Everything is crooked and fixed and they're in charge of everything. Well, this guy had this amazing story about a group of lawyers who are attorneys general. And the ringleader is the attorney general of New York State. And how he and roughly 20 or so other attorneys general, all lawyers in different states, got together laws that will limit your First Amendment right of freedom of speech. And the media is not covering this thing. I mean, it's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. And so I've got this great interview. If you suspect that lawyers rig everything, well, of course you're right. Here's proof. And we're not talking just any old lawyers. We're talking about attorneys general in many of the states. They've all conspired. They've gotten together. And they're writing these laws now to silence you. Because if you dare to speak out about global warming, if you're going to say the wrong thing, they're going to make laws to stop you. It's really an amazing story. And so you're going to hear it on the Blog Talk Radio part of One Dimitri Radio. That's the name of our multi-platform simulstream here. I'm Dimitri, the lovable libertarian. Hi. So we've got all that going on. All right. Let's see here. What else do I have here for you? Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Okay. A lot of these swing states. The election apparently is very close. I suspect that there are a lot of people out there who will vote for Donald Trump but don't want to say it to a pollster or their neighbors because they're ashamed, because Donald Trump, after all, does say he grabs her private parts and, you know, he does all this kind of talk and all that kind of stuff. But my guess is that if the polls are saying it's going to be a really, really close election, it really might not be. Because people are, you know, afraid to say that they actually support Donald Trump. That's my guess. God knows I could be wrong. If I could predict the future, I would be a multimillionaire. In fact, I'd be a multimillionaire. And I can't predict the future. But that's my guess. That's what I think is going on here. Oh, by the way, back to the P word thing. I forgot. I should have mentioned this, but I didn't. If Donald Trump was going to pay a price politically for having a potty mouth, he would have paid it in the Republican primary. Because throughout the Republican primary, I have audio clips of Donald Trump using some really foul language. And even his supporters, like Sarah Palin, he got her to say things like President Obama is, some word, I'm getting up, drawing a blank here, but some word that included the word pussy. And that she wanted somebody who had a set of balls who would put them on the table. I mean, these were the words that Sarah Palin was using. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And Donald Trump using the F word and all this kind of stuff. Now, remember, in the Republican primary, who you're dealing with? You're dealing with social conservatives. You're dealing with evangelicals. If Donald Trump was going to pay a price for having a potty mouth and all that, it would have been in the Republican primary, because there's the most likely group of people who would be offended by curse words and all that kind of stuff. And yet, he didn't. So if he did not pay a price for having a potty mouth in the Republican primary, what makes you think he's going to have to pay for any of this in general election? I mean, come on. It's just sex. It's just, and for him, it was just talking. That's all it was. There's no victim. It's just, Now, the swing states, Pennsylvania. A lot of folks in the elite media are going, well, Pennsylvania is not even going to be a swing state because it's been going blue Democrat since 1988. And why even bother? Because as long as, the southeastern part, Philadelphia and those collar counties, as long as you get enough liberal Democrat votes, it doesn't matter about the rest of the state because the population is so heavily concentrated in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania, which is true. But what's really interesting, and I've shared this with you before, the Democrats have been pounding away at Philadelphia and the collar counties. They've been sending in the president, the vice president, the first lady, and different people, all this. If Pennsylvania was not in play, if the Democrats had pretty much sewn up Pennsylvania, which is a very big state, a lot of electoral college votes, a lot of them, they wouldn't have been going back there and going back there and going back there. Well, Donald Trump is no fool. Say whatever you will about him, he is no fool. Today, and this episode, this simul stream of ours, our multi-stream, this is Monday night, October the 10th, 2016. Donald Trump was in Pennsylvania twice today, so far, that I'm aware of. In Ambridge, in the Pittsburgh area, right outside of Pittsburgh, as a matter of fact, and in Wilkes-Barre. If Pennsylvania is not in play, if it's going to go Democrat or whatever, what are the Democrats still doing in Philadelphia, and what's Donald Trump still doing in the state? I mean, he's in Ambridge and then in, Wilkes-Barre. I think this thing is still in play because the politicians would not be dealing with it otherwise. Now, I don't know which way it's going to go, but if you listen to the elite media, it's like, oh, well, Pennsylvania's going to go blue because it's been that way like forever or whatever. I don't think so. I don't think so. Donald Trump. Two different places in Pennsylvania. He still thinks he can win it. And when you've got the president of the United States saying that it'd be, and I'm paraphrasing here, it'd be a personal affront to him if black voters did not vote for him, he'd take it personally. That tells me that Hillary Clinton is not getting anywhere near enough black votes to win Pennsylvania or other states for that matter. This is going to be a fascinating election. And everybody was saying how Ohio's this big deal bellwether state, that, you got to win Ohio and all that. Well, it looks like from all the polling that Donald Trump is going to be winning Ohio, and it's going to be by a fairly handy margin. And now the elites in the media are going, well, Ohio doesn't really matter. It's not really, indicative of anything. I think it is. I definitely think it is. I really do. So anyway, so Donald Trump in Ambridge, and again, right outside of Pittsburgh, and then up in Wilkes-Barre area, the Northeast. I think Pennsylvania is in play. I think a lot of these blue states are now in play because Donald Trump is attracting a lot of blue-collar Democrats, this might not even be a close election. Again, if I could predict the future, I'd be a multi-billionaire. But I would not be surprised if this ends up being a landslide. I really wouldn't, because there are too many indicators going on right now that, you know, a lot of this stuff shouldn't be happening. Colorado should not be in play. New Mexico should not be in play. Pennsylvania should not be in play. Ohio should be in play, but it's not in play. A lot of these other states that you wouldn't think that the Republican would have a snowball's chance in hell are in play. That doesn't automatically mean they're going to go Republican or whatever, but the mere fact that they're in play is astonishing. And when you look at how the elites in the media and all the rhino Republicans, and certainly all the Democrats, are all ganging up on Donald Trump and saying he's the worst, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. For him to be this close with most of the polling, not all of it, but most of the polling, and to be this close in a lot of key swing states, this is after Hillary Clinton has spent umpteen gazillion dollars on lots and lots of ads, has gotten very favorable press, and yet it's still like neck and neck. I'm telling you, it is quite possible that this third debate could be the defining moment of the political process, not only for this election cycle, but for the next 20 or 30 years. It might be very close. It certainly seems to be very close regarding the polling. And this guy could actually pull it off. Donald Trump, try to wrap your ears around this. Donald Trump could actually pull this thing off. All the indicators are there that it's possible. Possible. And if I'm Hillary Clinton's campaign, I'm dying right now, especially watching that debate performance. When Hillary Clinton is blaming Abraham Lincoln for lying of all the people on this earth, you just want to shake her and go, what the hell the matter with you? You're blaming Abraham Lincoln? Honest Abe? I mean, come on. Jesus. Anyway. All right. Well, look, that's pretty much it for this portion of our multi-stream tonight on Periscope, on Facebook Live, on blogtalkradio.com. I have a great interview for you, recorded it. You're going to hear it on the Blog Talk Radio portion of our multi-stream. And again, we do this 9 p.m. Eastern Time weeknights on blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, and on Twitter, on Periscope on Twitter. And so if you could please spread the word. If you would please consider following me on Facebook and on Twitter, that would be great. I'd appreciate it very much. Also, share this with anyone and everyone on your timelines. I would really appreciate that. I'm glad that I'm back. It was a very strange, rough period this past week. And again, thank you all for all the wonderful comments and all the views on the last video that I did from OVMC. And Helen is doing a lot better. She complained about every bit of her food. She's back. She's back. And now when she's complaining about everything, she's back. So tough old bird, that lady. Tough old bird. So anyway, would you please consider sharing this on your timelines and let everybody know about this? Because frankly, the more exposure, the more coverage, the better it's going to be for everyone. So thank you very much for that. All right, we're going to do the interview now with Chris Horner. And again, this is not about global warming. Whether you agree with global warming or disagree, it's not about that. If you care about the First Amendment, the First Amendment, the part about freedom of speech, First Amendment's got like five different parts to it. I'm referring to the freedom of speech part. What these lawyers have done, and lawyers can be some of the worst, the most horrible people in the world. What these lawyers have done, using government, these attorneys general have gotten together, they've conspired like a racket to come up with legislation to limit your First Amendment rights of free speech. And the media is not covering this. And I thought, my God, this is an amazing story. Let me share this with all of my friends on Facebook Live, on Twitter, on Periscope, and certainly all my listeners on blogtalkradio.com.